We're looking again at Revelation chapter 1 this morning, and we'll look at the first 8 verses, God willing, this morning, and then this evening we'll pick up at verse 9 and look at the rest of the chapter together. The death of Queen Elizabeth II was a momentous event, not only in this country but throughout the world, and for many of us, all we've ever known is that she has been the Queen. So life changes when big events happen in the world like that. When an elderly leader who has been respected and admired by many comes to the end of this life's journey, there's a legacy, there's an example which must be passed on to another generation who will follow. And this last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, is an example of that. The writer, the Apostle John, was very elderly, probably in his 90s, and he knew that he must soon die, and he was concerned to encourage the people that he'd been privileged to serve and to lead to continue in their faith in God and in the things that John had taught them and others had taught them. Even though he was an old man, he was a prisoner on the island of Patmos, as we read, probably having to do hard labor in the quarries there. Why was he there? Well, because he'd been preaching the gospel. He tells us it was for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ that he was there. And it was a difficult time then for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was great suffering under the Roman Emperor Domitian, and some had been killed, some had been put in prison, and life was tough for the believers. And so part of the reason why John was given this revelation from the Lord, this message to pass on to others, was to encourage believers who were living in very difficult days, and to encourage them to keep going. Now, our circumstances are not exactly the same as that. We may not have the same degree of persecution against believers today in our particular situation here, though in other parts of the world, sadly, believers are suffering greatly for the gospel. But though our circumstances might be slightly different, I think this message, which is timeless, is very, very relevant and very up-to-date for us to consider. To know that though the days in which we live are also difficult days for believers, that God is with his people and God has spoken his word, and his word never changes, and his word is powerful and true. And he is working out his purposes sovereignly through all the events of the world and of our lives. And we're to be encouraged as well to know that there is a better future for those who are trusting in the Lord. Jesus is coming again. And this book sounds that theme again and again, and ends in that way. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's coming again, and he will bring this present world to an end, and all its sins to an end, and the effects of sin to an end. And he will bring in a perfect new creation for his people to live with him there forever in a place where there is only righteousness dwelling. The book of Revelation can seem very confusing at first glance. And you might think, where on earth do we start? It's a bit like a meal that we had as a family a few years ago when we were on holiday in France. And we looked at the menu and could work out some of it. And two of our boys decided they would order something called fruits de mer, seafood. They didn't really know what they were ordering, but when the waiter brought it, there was this huge metal platter with crushed ice all over it and all kinds of sea creatures with their shells and their pincers and their claws and their big eyes looking up at us. And we took one look at that plate and we thought, where on earth do you start? I think for many people, the book of Revelation can seem a bit like that. There are all kinds of images and picture language and symbolism. Beasts with several heads and horns, scrolls being opened, trumpets sounding, a lake of fire, a white throne, a street of gold, and then numbers which seem to have patterns and some kind of meaning. 7 keeps cropping up, and then the number 10, and the number 1,000, and multiples of those, and we think, what does it all mean? What kind of sense can we make of it? How do we start to understand? Well, we have to realize, of course, that the Bible has a variety of different kinds of writing in it. And the book of Revelation is a series of visions that the Apostle John was given by God. Not all the Bible is written in the same style or in the same kind of literature. Some of it is poetry, some of it is history, and some, like the book of the Revelation, is apocalyptic in its style. We're not meant to take every little detail literally, though it speaks absolute truth, but there are figures of speech and there are picture language, there's picture language here, and the truth is conveyed through signs and symbols. The book of the Revelation is sometimes called the Apocalypse, from the Greek word apokalypsis. It means an unveiling or an uncovering. If you receive a birthday present, it might be all wrapped up in nice paper and you can't see what's inside. Until you tear off that paper with great excitement and you look inside, and now what was hidden from view is seen. And it's like that with the book of the Revelation. It's an uncovering of the truth. That truth which in the past was kept hidden and now is made known. It's a glorious message from the Lord God that he's given to us. And it points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us about him. Of course, the whole Bible tells us about him from cover to cover. And this last book of the Bible is the Revelation of Jesus Christ. That's its title. And that's what it says in verse 1. So, he is there on every page. And this book has been given to us so that we may know the one who is revealed throughout the Bible. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And it's given so that we might know eternal life through him. We're going to just introduce the first part of this chapter, verses 1 to 8. And then, as I said, we'll look at chapter 1, verse 9 onwards this evening. And there are three things to notice about this message, this glorious message that God has given to you and to me in this book. The first thing is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's what its title is. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. So it's the revealing of a person, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This book has been given in order to make Christ known to us. It's all about Jesus. In all of the Apostle John's writings, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to look at Jesus. He wants to make Jesus known to us. He said in the first letter of John, chapter 5, verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So that's John's aim in all of his writings, to show you who Christ is, that you may love him and know him and trust him and have eternal life with him. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 1 says, it's to show his servants things which must shortly take place. Now that can either mean things which will take place soon, or perhaps rather, things which will take place in quick succession once they start to happen. Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us, to be ready, to be watching and praying and waiting for that time when he will come again. And we are to live as his followers in that constant readiness and watchfulness, so that whether it's today, whether it's this very moment, whether it's tomorrow, whenever it happens, that we are ready, that we are looking, that we are trusting, that we are obedient to his will. And so believers in New Testament days, in the early part of the church, they lived with that constant expectation that Jesus could return at any time. And the last words of the Bible at the end of the book of Revelation are, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. No one knows the day or hour. The Lord Jesus was very plain and clear about that. No one knows that day or hour, but we are to be ready. God's time scale is different from ours. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. But we are to be ready. So John has given this message from God, and it was communicated to him, in his case by an angel, as he says in verse 1. And what was John going to do with this message? He was going to pass it on to others, as he explains in verse 2. To pass on this message, he bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. So what John saw and heard from the Lord, he wrote down in this book, and he sent it, as verse 4 says, to the seven churches which are in Asia. That's the Roman province of Asia, which would be southwest Turkey on our maps today. So these seven churches, they were within an area of about 50 miles square. These letters are sent out to these churches that are within that region. And the seven churches represent really the whole of the church of Jesus Christ. Seven in the Bible is often the number that indicates perfection or completeness. And so the seven represent the whole church. And as every page of scripture is for believers in all ages, at all times, all of God's word is relevant to us. This is a message for us today. And what was the purpose of passing on God's word to others? It was so that they might be blessed by the truth. And they'll be blessed by that truth as they read it, as they hear it, as they take it to heart, and as they obey it. In verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." This is one of the seven Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. A beatitude is one of those sayings that begins with the word blessed. Remember Jesus' sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. He begins that way. Blessed are those. And some of the Psalms have that theme as well. The first Psalm, for example. Blessed is the man who does not walk in a certain way and keep the company of unbelievers or ungodly rather and follow the ways of sin, but who meditates on the word of God. So being blessed, being a person who is blessed by the Lord in the favor of God, is someone who is living in the world amongst people, but who is different from the world and who is true to God's word. So it's one of those kind of statements. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear and those who keep the things that are written in this book. So that means if we want to be eternally and truly happy, which is what the word blessed means, happy, in the fullest sense, eternally, truly happy, then we need God's word in our lives. We need to regularly be reading the Bible and hearing the Bible preached. And not only must we hear it with our ears, we must believe it in our hearts, and we must act upon it. With God's grace, we must live it out in our lives. We need to take it seriously and to receive it gladly. So the book of Revelation was given, in fact the whole Bible was given, to make the Lord Jesus Christ known to us. And that by living in line with who he is and the word that he's given to us, we may be blessed forever. He is the faithful witness, says verse 5. He speaks the truth. Because he is the truth. And he's the firstborn from the dead. Because he's risen from the dead, he guarantees that those who believe in him will also rise forever to live with him. His kingdom, as we've said, is greater than all kingdoms. He is the ruler over the kings of the earth. He's eternal, the same yesterday and today, and forever. Just as God the Father is one who was, and who is to come, as we read here, and just as the Spirit of God is eternal, and is always before God's throne, as we read here, so the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is eternal. The three persons of the Godhead are eternal. He's the one who is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. That's the first and the last letters of the alphabet, the Greek alphabet which they used. So the Lord Jesus is eternal and glorious, and this message is to reveal him to us. The seven spirits that are mentioned there in verse 4. Some take that to mean the sevenfold spirit. In other words, seven being symbolic of perfection. This is the spirit who is perfect and ever before the throne of God. There's lots of symbolism, as we've said, in the book of the Revelation. So it's all about the revelation of Jesus Christ, firstly. But secondly, this message is about the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. The redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5 again, please. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What other event in all of history shows greater love than this, than the death of Jesus Christ on the cross? He loved us, it says. And what love that was. What love was demonstrated there at Calvary's cross. He loved us, and that's why he paid the debt. The debt that we could never pay, for all our sins, all the wrong that we've done against God and against others. And he paid that debt by taking our place, dying instead of us. He loved us, and so he washed us from our sins, it says, in his own blood. Normally, if you get blood on a piece of clothing, it's very hard to get that blood stain out. But here, the language is strange in a way. It tells us of being washed by the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ washes us completely clean. And in fact, what it literally says is, to him who loved us and loosed us from our stains. One who set us free from our sins by his own blood. As if you've been released from chains, the chains of your sins. You were trapped in a pattern of life which was destructive and which was against the will of God. A life which imprisoned you, that held you captive. Jesus says in John chapter 8 that whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and that's what we were all like. But if you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death on the cross releases you. If the Son makes you free, he said, you shall be free indeed. And so you're released and you're set free from your sins through the death of Christ, if you believe in him. You're set free from the guilt of sins and from the punishment that would rightly come to us because of our sins. How wonderful that is, to know that freedom, that being released and set free from that guilt and eternal condemnation. And it's through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross that that happens, because he took our place to cancel out the debt that we owed to God and which we could never ever pay. We're hearing a lot at the moment, aren't we, about the cost of living crisis and all these measures that the government are trying to put in to address all of that. And the increasing pressure on people financially means that people and even countries are borrowing more, and then there's that burden of having to pay it back. Well, imagine being in that situation and you have no way of paying off your debts, and then someone comes alongside you and says, I will pay that for you. And they have the means to pay it all off in one go. The debt is cancelled. What a relief that is. What a burden is lifted. That's what the cross of Christ does. It lifts that burden of guilt from us. The debt is cancelled, never to be repaid again, because it's already been paid for in full. And so the Lord Jesus, by his death on the cross, redeems his people. He purchases us to himself, and he sets us free. And those he saves are made to be kings and priests to God, it says in verse 6. As kings, they would reign forever with him. As priests, they have access to draw near to the holy presence of God. And that's how God described the special relationship between him and his people when he gave the laws to Moses and the people of Israel in Exodus chapter 19, there at Mount Sinai. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And then those words are echoed in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Do you know by personal experience the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one to whom the whole Bible points, and the one who is made known in the Word of God so that you can know him, so that you can have eternal life? And do you know and have you experienced in your own life the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ? All your sins being cancelled out and forgiven because he has died for you. Peace in your heart and in your life. Freedom from condemnation and from despair. Well, this message in this book is for you. It is to reveal Jesus Christ. It is to tell you of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. But thirdly, it also points to the return of Jesus Christ. The return of Jesus Christ. This message from God to you in the book of Revelation is not something that you can afford to ignore. And it's not something which you should put off for another time. It's an urgent message. It's one that you must act on. And if you've never done so before, that you must act on now, today. It's an urgent message. Why is that? Well, because it's a wake-up call. It's an alarm bell ringing loudly in our ears and telling us it's time to respond. Jesus is coming back. The time is near, says verse 3. Recently, in one of our monthly Friday fellowship meetings, Pastor Terry Williams mentioned that one of the words used in the New Testament to describe Jesus' second coming is that very word, apocalypse, or revelation. And so the very name of this last book of the Bible points to the coming again of Jesus Christ. The very last words at the end of the book, the very last words in the whole Bible, are, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So God's word tells us plainly that the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge of all the earth, the one who is God and man in one person, the only way to God, the only mediator, well, he's coming back, and this time to judge this present evil world. And that will happen suddenly. Every eye will see him. It tells us plainly in the Bible that that will be the case. And when he comes back, we need to be ready. In fact, we need to live every day with that constant thought in our minds that Jesus, the Lord of all, could return at any moment. And in many of his teachings, he was emphasizing that, wasn't he? That the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. No one's expecting it. And he said in Matthew 24, verse 43, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Sadly, as verse 7 here points out, for some, that day and that time will catch them out, and they won't be ready. They will be unprepared, and sadly for some, it will be too late. Every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth because of him. Even so, amen. So are you watching? Are you praying? Are you listening to God's word and doing it? Are you looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only hope, the only answer, the only way to God? This glorious message that God has given to you is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It tells you of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And it alerts you to that great day which is coming, the return of Jesus Christ. If that day was this very day, where would you stand? Would you be ready?